The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program titled Travelers of Difficult Paths Inshallah in the beginning we will hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif Salat ala al-Nabi In one narration We are told that a person passed away and after he died, somebody saw him in his dream and asked him, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ How did Allah Azza wa Jal deal with you? The person replied, Allah Ta'ala forgave me. You've asked how Allah dealt with me, Allah forgave me. He was asked, for what reason were you granted forgiveness? He said, once I was in a majlis, a gathering, and a scholar, he mentioned the excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi Durood Sharif. And when I heard this virtue of reciting Durood Sharif, I recited Salat ala Nabi loudly in the majlis. And upon hearing me recite it loudly, everyone in the majlis began to recite it loudly as well. Allah Ta'ala liked this act of mine so much that He forgave me. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The views of Madani Channel. In this particular episode, we will be hearing about the grandson of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala and the son of Sayyiduna Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala. Who am I referring to? None other than the honorable personality known as Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. He was the grandson of the auntie the paternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Safiya radiyallahu anha, and the nephew of Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha, Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He was the son of Sayyidatuna Asma bint Abi Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was honored, privileged to be blessed with the saliva of the Prophet alayhi salam. When a baby is born, tahniq is carried out. A pious personality is asked to place something sweet in their mouth and chew on it. And thereafter, that sweet thing is put into the mouth of the young born, the newborn. Why? It is hoped that the qualities, the characteristics of that pious person are passed on to the newborn child. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala was honored in that his tahniq was carried out by none other than the best of creation, alayhi salatu wassalam. Now when Muslims migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah, the Yahud said that Muslims will no longer have any children. Their lineage will not increase. Why? Because sorcery has been performed, magic has been performed on them. Now when this began to pick up, this notion of theirs, that Muslims have been deprived from having children, Allah Ta'ala blessed Sayyidatuna Asma bint Abi Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu with a child. And this was also at the same time a refutation of the Yahud who were saying the Muslims won't have any children. Subhanallah, this child was born by the mercy of Allah. And who was that child? None other than Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was presented to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet alayhi salam placed his blessed saliva via the tahniq into his mouth. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu anhu, as you know, came from a lofty lineage, the grandson of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. He went on to become a very pious individual who spent his nights worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and performing recitation of the Quran abundantly. And he was also an ardent follower of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to another excellence of his. One day he came to the court of the Prophet alayhi salam whilst the Prophet alayhi salam was having cupping, hijama, bloodletting performed. And this was prevalent in that time. This was a form of treatment. When the blessed blood of Rasulullah ﷺ left his body, it was gathered in one place. When the Prophet ﷺ finished from this treatment, he said, Oh Abdullah, take this blood and preserve it, place it somewhere where nobody can see. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anh took the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he thought in his heart, the Prophet alayhi wasallam has instructed me to preserve this, place this where nobody can see, and I don't think there's any place better than my stomach to preserve it. So what did he do? He drank the blood of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When he came back to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet alayhi salam said two things to him. Meaning when he found out that he had drank the blood, number one, the fire of hell will not touch you. This is the blessings of drinking the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Secondly, woe to you from the people and woe to the people from you. But what does this mean? The explanation is that you will fall into trial. You'll be afflicted. People will harm you. And people will be embroiled in tribulation because of you. This means that they will mart you unlawfully. They will take your life unlawfully. And in return, they will earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will also fall into trial as well. So these are the two things said to him by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these two things, exactly as the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, manifested and people witnessed this as well. And on the Day of Judgment, Allah ta'ala will grant Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu such a lofty maqam that people will see that this is that person who was granted the blessed saliva of the Prophet alayhi salam and who drank the blessed blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the rank of this great Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala. Now, you may recall that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala in the event of Karbala was martyred mercilessly, ruthlessly, and along with his companions, alayhim ridwan. Who was behind this? Yazid the Wretched. And many people from the offspring, many flowers from the garden of the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were martyred. Now, one thing to note is that Yazid did not only confront and have an issue with Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, there were other Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in that he had a problem with, that he knew were an obstacle in him living the way he wanted. And we know how he lived, going against the commands of the Quran, adopting the prohibitions, ma'adallah, he did all sorts of wrong. Many Sahaba, in fact, were martyred by this wretched individual, Yazid. Sayyidina Urwa radiallahu anhu narrates, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away. And then Yazid sent a message to many people that they should pledge allegiance to me. Yazid did this. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu was also passed on this message. What did Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair do? Just as Imam Hussein did, he rejected. Said, no way. There's no chance I will give bay'ah to you. And he even told other people, how can this person be the Amir? How can this person be the leader of the Muslims? Look at his state. Look at his transgressions. When this news of this reached Yazid, he took an oath. And he said, I will imprison, I will capture Abdullah bin Zubair. I will place a noose in his neck, on his neck, and bring him to my court. I will have this done. If this is not done, meaning if this doesn't happen, then I will take my army and we will attack them. My army will attack them. Some people came to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, mentioned all sorts of things, meaning they wanted sulh to take place, reconciliation between him and Yazid. They said, look, Yazid's taken an oath now. And he will fulfill that oath because he's in power. So what we'll do is we will make a noose of gold. We will place it on you beneath your clothes. And like this, we will take you to Yazid. His oath will be fulfilled as well. You won't be harmed. And reconciliation will take place. So Ibn Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, do not fulfill his oath. May it not be the case that I have to go to the court of such a wretched individual. And then he read some couplets. And the translation of those couplets were that I will not adopt any sort of gentleness in this matter, this unlawful matter, pledging allegiance to him. He's not Ahl. I'm not going to adopt any sort of gentleness, any gentle approach. This is an impermissible demand of his, request of his, that I pledge allegiance to him. It's not going to happen. When my heart does not accept him to be capable, qualified enough, to be given allegiance to, then how can I give allegiance to him? And he said famously, I will not do so until stones become soft enough to chew for the molars. And this is just a figure of speech, meaning when will stones ever become soft enough to chew? It's not going to happen. In Arabic, they say mawquf ala al-muhal, muhal. That when you are saying something depends on an impossibility, then that is impossibility itself. It's never going to happen. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu is saying, stones will never turn soft enough to chew on. And like this, I will never give bay'ah to Yazid. So don't even continue to pursue this. Then he said, dying a respectful death, a death of honor, and taking a strike of a sword for respect, for honor, is greater than taking the lashing of one whip for disgrace. Meaning he was very strong in his views. How can I present myself for disgrace? This is what he was saying. I will accept martyrdom, but I will never reconcile with Yazid. Then what happened? Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair began to take bay'ah himself. People pledged allegiance to him. He opposed Yazid, of course, by doing so. And then meanwhile, Yazid appointed a person named Hussein bin Namir Kindi. He called him and he appointed him. He said, attack Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. Attack them, wherever they are. And we know they were in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And he said, be aware of the deceptions of the Quraysh. This is what Yazid is saying, the filthy, wretched individual. Meaning, what he's trying to say is, don't accept any reconciliation from them. If you go there, don't become hesitant. Attack them, take their lives. This is what I want. Meaning, I shouldn't receive any news that you have, you know, succumbed to the pressure. They've convinced you to take another route. No, I want blood. This is what I want you to do. I want you to continue fighting with them until they are forced to give bay'ah to me. This is what Yazid said. So this person, Ibn Numayr Kindi, he reached Makkah al-Mukarramah and he began to fight with the Muslims. Makkah al-Mukarramah, as you know, is haram, sacred land. Now, even the kuffar, when they would martyr someone, when they would kill someone, they would take them out of haram sharif. Even they respected that land. But here Muslims are fighting their fellow Muslims. Yazid's army are fighting the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Where in Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah, they have no regard for the sanctity of that blessed land. And we know from other events that he even attacked Medina Al-Munawwara, Yazid did. Prayers were not performed for days on end in Al-Medina Al-Munawwara as well, because of Yazid's people who attacked that place, that blessed city of Medina Al-Munawwara. He had the horses from his army tied to the pillars of Masjid Al-Nabawi. Now, what did this person do who was sent by Yazid? He set the gilaf, the veil of the Kaaba on fire. Can you imagine this? The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the gilaf, the veil of the Kaaba is being set on fire. This actually happened. So they were blinded. When power reaches a person's head, when love of the world reaches a person's head, he's intoxicated. He doesn't see right from wrong. Now this battle was at its peak when the death of Yazid was announced. During this battle, it was announced that Yazid had died. That's when Hussein bin Numayr Kindi ran away from there. He escaped from there. After that, Marwan bin Hakam began to take bay'ah from the people. He asked people to pledge allegiance to him. After he died, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he announced his leadership. He said, people should pledge allegiance to me. And what did he do? He appointed an army for Hajjaj bin Yusuf, asked them to go to Makkah al-Mukarramah. When Hajjaj reached there, and specifically Jabal Abi Qubais, Mount Abu Qubais, he took his army there and he set up a catapult at that particular place. If we know what happens with a catapult, things are placed in there and they are thrown. It's a form of ammunition, weaponry. So boulders, you could say massive rocks, were placed in the catapult and thrown towards where? Where do you think? Allahu Akbar Kabira. From Jabal Abi Qubais, they threw stones via that catapult into Masjid al-Haram, where Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair and his Rufaqa, his companions were. Jabal Abi Qubais is still there today, the side of Marwa, Babul Marwa, and where Sa'i is completed. You can still see that mountain today. They threw boulders and stones towards Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair in the Haram Sharif, Masjid al-Haram. Now, on the day of his martyrdom, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair went to his mother. His mother was 100 years of age at that time. Sayyidatuna Asma bint Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. She was the sister of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. These were people who sacrificed everything for the deen. His mother asked him, what's happened in terms of the battle? And he told her that they have reached a certain place, masalan Abi Qubais, the mount of Abi Qubais. She smiled and she said, undoubtedly, death is a cause, is a suburb of attaining comfort and serenity. Subhanallah. And then she said, I pray that I do not die until I receive news of your martyrdom. Allahu Akbar. Imagine this, the mother is saying this about her son. Sahabi are saying this about Sahabi. That may I not die until I hear the news of your martyrdom. If you are martyred, then this is a means of great reward for me. Then Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he bid farewell to his noble mother. He knew this would be the last time that he's going to see her. And she advised him, she said, O son, do not leave any trait of your religion, quality of your religion, characteristic of your religion, because of the fear of death. I don't want to see that. If you lose your life, lose your life. But don't compromise when it comes to the deen. Meaning people will come, they will try and reconcile, don't budge. So he left from there, came to the masjid, and the people said to him, that, oh, Ibn Zubayr, if you give permission, then we will reconcile with the enemies. He radiallahu anhu said, is this the time for Salah? They've burnt the giraf of the Kaaba, and you're speaking about reconciliation? By Allah, even if you hide in the drapes, the veil of the Kaaba right now, in this situation, they will still come and kill you. They have no remorse, they have no mercy at all right now. They will not leave you alone. And you're talking about reconciliation? How is this possible? After this, he mentioned some Arabic poetry, the translation of which is, I will not buy possessions, mata' of this world, in place of disgrace and humiliation. What benefit is there in having a life of disgrace and humiliation? So he wanted a life of martyrdom. He wanted his life to end with martyrdom. He wanted a life of honor. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? If you act righteously, then He will give you a beautiful life. He will give you a renewed life. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ We will grant them a pure life if they do good, whether it's a male or a female. And he said, I am not one to flee because of the fear of death. I will stay steadfast on the religion given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By Allah, whenever we are confronted by the enemy, I'll be in the first row. You will find me in the first row. I won't be in the back row. How will I run away? How can I run away? It's not possible. Whenever, by Allah, whenever I was inflicted with a wound in battle, it was as if this feeling that I sensed was as if medication, ointment was placed on it. These wounds are a means of comfort. This is what he said. And then he attacked the people who had come. These were people from Sham. And he had swords in both hands. First of all, a person named Aswad came. And in one go, he dealt with him. He neutralized him. And he cut off his leg. And Ma'adullah, at the same time, that Aswad person, the person named Aswad, he began to swear at Sayyidatuna Asma radiallahu anha. And what did he say? O son of an adulteress, O son of an immodest woman. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu replied, do you say this regarding Asma bint Abi Bakr? And then he drove off the people of Sham from the masjid. Which masjid? Masjid al-Haram. And then the battle ensued. It continued like this. It began to take people out the masjid, the enemies, the opposing army. And he began to say, if only there was someone equal to me who would attack me. If only there was someone who was equal to me. And I would be sufficient in dealing with him myself, subhanallah. The narrator states, he didn't allow anyone to enter the masjid thereafter. To the extent that he had some helpers on the roof of the masjid. One brick of the roof coincidentally fell. And it just so happened that it struck his head, the head of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. And because of this, he had a wound in his head. His head split open, it's mentioned. And the vein in his head, and an important vein, that was severed. And when that happened, he was saying, that we are not those people who flee from battle and whose blood falls upon their heels. What he was trying to say, he was trying to paint a picture that some people, when they flee from battle, they're struck in their back and the blood from the wound trickles down to their feet and their ankles, on their heels. Because we are not from those people. We are those people who, when we're attacked, we're attacked face on, when we're facing the enemy. We're attacked in our chest, and the wound that is inflicted and the blood that comes out falls on our feet. SubhanAllah, look at the courage, look at the bravery, even in that moment when he's in severe pain as well. And look at the istiqamah of these people, SubhanAllah. He wished for martyrdom, desired martyrdom, that he was loyal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator states that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu an fell to the ground because of the severity of the wound, because of how much of a toll it had on his body. He fell on the ground, and that's when the army who were from Sham came, and ma'adallah, they stepped forward and they removed his head from his body. They severed his head. Allahu Akbar. But the istiqamat, right till the end. Look at that jazba, look at that passion. Look at that desire for martyrdom. You know, things happen in our lives as well. We're inflicted, we suffer harm. But how do we react in those situations? Does that make us waver in our faith? People end up leaving their prayers. People do all sorts. Someone is keeping a beard. Another person taunts him. He shaves the beard. Look at the iman of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. They were strong in their iman. And we need to follow them as well, inshallah. And if we follow the Sahaba truly, who were die-hard lovers of the Prophet alayhi salam, inshallah, we will attain success in this dunya. More important, in the akhirah as well. Let's make an intention. Till our last breath, till our dying day, we will follow the Prophet alayhi salam, the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salam. We will not be weak in our faith. We won't compromise. We won't agree with batil. We will always remain in haq. And we pray that Allah enables us to live a life in this manner. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.